Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond, and welcome to Frank and Kim Spillers of Global Horizons. So, Frank, I want to start with you and just tell us, basically remind us about what's the purpose of Global Horizons.
Well, Global Horizons is a rural economic development community, and we build civility within communities that want to repopulate and turn around their population trends and also reduce poverty in their areas.
With that basic purpose, you kind of emphasize whatever I think is of the moment interest. And civility, I think, is at the top of that list right now because we're seeing so many examples of people not being very civil. Kim, you've just recently been on some other radio programs. You want to tell us about that experience just briefly?
Well, thanks, LaVon, for noticing that. We were honored to be on Tuesday. We were on Omaha Public Radio. We sent them some information a few weeks ago, and they were particularly interested in civility. And so we gave the listeners there some tips about how to be civil, and you are quite correct. Yes, we could all use a different and better dose of civility these days.
And we all get angry over things. We all have frustrations and so on. But there's so many different ways to handle those feelings rather than maybe shouting and screaming and worse.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of different ways. And we call those issues wicked issues. Wicked issues are issues that have high emotion in them. They have many different opinions on those, and the stakes are high on how do we handle those. And so as we look at those wicked issues and we talk about civility, we have a process that we take people through, through our Community Engagement Institute, and we take them through of how to talk about those wicked issues in a community. I mean, if your community is in turmoil, people are not going to want to come there. You're not going to attract the population that you want. And so part of this is, are you civil amongst yourself? Are you civil amongst other communities in your area that you get along with? Or do you have holdover athletic competition, you know, jealousies? It's a typical rural America type of thing. And as a community start to come together and they can start to agree upon the direction that they're going, then they can start to move forward and they can grow. And we call that relationship economic development.
I think, yes, you've kind of expanded that relationship. We hear more and more how businesses, everything successful is based on good relationships. So I think you've kind of pinpointed here. Kim, I want to come back to you. You said you gave some tips for building civility. Can you share some of those with us?
Absolutely, be happy to. One of the things that I think we tend to overlook is that the people who are in front of us are the people who can help us solve the problems. We don't have to have experts necessarily from, you know, someplace else. We're the experts. The people who have issues in, say, a community, they're the experts at how to solve it because they have history and they know people, and perhaps they just need to have a little bit of guidance. So see the people in front of you as problem solvers.
And maybe I just want to relate because I just heard of an instance where sometimes people don't want to face the people next to them. They go to somebody else, and maybe it's a neighbor, and say, "Well, you tell that person such and such," and they yeah. That conversation just doesn't happen face to face.
No, it sure doesn't. And we need to see each other as friends instead of adversaries. And so that's one of the ways that we can look differently at each other. So another thing that is key, we think, for civility is to separate the people from the problem. The people aren't necessarily, we have an issue. We've got a problem. Seeing you as somebody who's in my way isn't going to get the problem solved. So we need to have that separation so that we maintain relationships, but we still are hard on the problem. So we need to focus on the interests and not on the bottom line necessarily of, say, finances and things like that. But we need to figure out how we can work together to achieve common ground. We have a lot more together than we give ourselves credit for, and that's what we hope to help communities discover.
Yeah. Finding that common ground is sometimes difficult, but as you say, there is common ground with all of us. We have families, we have businesses, we have community, lots of commonality there, but we have to find it. Anything else that, Kim, you want to add to that?
There are always multiple options. There's never, and the older I get, the more I see gray. Used to be black and white, you know, and now the world gets more and more gray with every passing day. And so there are always multiple ways to look at things. And when we discover, if we think about something that we've not thought about before, oh, well, yeah, maybe we could do it that way. Then we have to think about the trade-offs and consequences. So if we do what you suggest, are we willing, you know, what sort of risks might come with that? What sort of trade-offs and consequences might we have to consider in, as we approach different kinds of options to be able to solve issues?
So I'm hearing that this building civility is a major part, but maybe not the total part, of this relationship economic development.
Right. Well, that's really good. You're getting better at that. It's just starting to roll off your tongue,
exactly.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And it is something you've coined in it, but I think it's good stuff there together, but we need to learn to put that together. So talk a little more about that, Frank.
Well, in my history of economic development for over 30 years of working with small rural communities, I've noticed that small rural communities are trying to compete with the metro areas for larger businesses, and that's an expensive process. And only 2% of our new employees are created by businesses that are recruited. So you have 98% of your workforce that is created by your existing businesses you have in your town, or by new business startups, which is entrepreneurship, and that's another area that we focus on too. And so as you're looking at your community, are you entrepreneurial friendly? Are you family friendly? And with Iowa having about a 3% unemployment rate, we're looking at how do we get more workers involved rather than how do we get more businesses expand or more businesses recruited to the state. And so it handles a whole bunch of stuff with the budget issues. We're getting more people in the state. We're not just cutting budgets. And so we're increasing the supply, not cutting the demand on that. And in Iowa, when we have more rural independent telephone companies than any other state in the nation, we have this huge economic activity and advantage in here that we can use the fiber that we have in the ground in a lot of our small rural communities. And I'm talking communities of 120 to 500 people, that people can have that rural experience, but they can work for a business in a metro area. And if you look at the trends are going towards 40% of our workforce will be telecommuters in the future. And that's within the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so as we look at how do we handle our unemployment problem, we can work with metro businesses on, are their policies family friendly? Do they, you know, do they allow telework and telecommuters? And if you telecommute, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, you increase your employee engagement factor about 30% on there. And so having a workforce that can telecommute, you grow your communities, you grow your towns. And we're looking for people ages 30 to 49 because they bring 10 to 14 year olds with them. And that will help the school systems too. So we're working with the hospitals, the communities, the schools, because they all have stake in how do we repopulate rural America and how do we then increase our incomes to where our poverty rates are decreasing.
All right. And that possibility of telecommunicating, it just seems like, you know, why would I want to drive to Des Moines and sit in a little box mm-hmm. when I could mm-hmm. sit here and look out my window, even if was not at home at another building, and look out a window and see some green space? I don't quite understand that, but I know economics is a really important factor there for families, that's why they're driving away, because they don't have a job here. So you're saying we need to develop those and help our communities develop those.
And we have that opportunity. I mean, here in Cass County, Iowa, which we're 50 miles from Omaha and about 83 miles from Des Moines, the last labor shed that I looked at was we had about 500 people going each way out of our county to work. I mean, so here I call Cass County kind of the Continental Divide of Iowa, because or Southwest Iowa, because you know half or some of those are going to Des Moines to work, and those are commuting every day. And when we look at Southwest Iowa, we have the economic advantage of being in between Omaha, Des Moines, and Kansas City. And so Omaha is our economic engine. Des Moines is secondary economic engine, but there's a lot of business that can be done down in Kansas City area, and we're within 3 hours of Kansas City. So having telework having telework in Kansas City makes a lot of sense also.
So Kim, if people want to know more about what you're working on, you have a website, a connection. How can we connect with you?
Absolutely, we do. It's www.bewuca.com. And can I remind, WUCA is to welcome, understand, comfort, and appreciate.
Did you have a last word you wanted to get in there, Frank? A really short last word?
Oh, I never get the last word over Kim. No, so that's it.
Okay.
But thank you very much for having us.
Matt, thank you very much to Kim and Frank Spellers of Global Horizons. And until next time, remember WUCA, which stands for Welcome, Understand, Comfort, and Appreciate.
Thank you.